the last sheets.
Yeah, a little later. That's all right. We'll do the last one.
I don't have the last.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, just a little bit of Shirayim from the previous sigil. See, maybe we'll get a little bit of a jump start to the next sigil. So we left off with the realization that the Dinim of Yikra Tofel are really multifaceted. We have many examples in the Gemara, the Yishav Shulchan Aruch, as to how to apply this principle. We have the original case in the Mishnah itself of Ikev and Tofel in the sense that I don't really even want to eat the Tofel. I would much rather not have this piece of bread, except I have this terribly salty taste in my mouth that I got because I was trying to get rid of the sweet fruit from Tveria. So I'm ending up with this taste in my mouth I want to get rid of, and I go ahead and eat the bread for one purpose alone, just to negate that taste. Even though the Ikev and Tofel not being eaten simultaneously, that's okay, because the whole goal was simply to avoid some unpleasant taste. Then the Rishonim went on to give other potential examples of Ikev and Tofel, where the two foods are actually being eaten together, but there is a clear primary goal and a secondary goal. And that was based on the Ikev and Tofel of Tosus that appears in the Sugya of Dvar Maboim Machmas Asuda, where Tosus develops this theory that the whole Yisod of the Lafis Pass is basically a din of Ikev and Tofel. It's the same plain old din of Ikev and Tofel. That's what Tosus said, Tanis against Rashi, Pshat in the Gemara. And you make a tuna sandwich of a lox on a bagel, that's just simply Ikev and Tofel. It's not exactly the same as the first case, because here I do want to eat both, but the goal of eating one is to enhance the other. Then we had a third scenario of Ikev and Tofel that was a little bit less clear. That appeared in the Shulchan Aruch, quoting from Mishnayim about when you have mixtures of different grains together. If you have a mixture of rice grain with other kinds of grains, so at what point do you say that I want to eat both? One is not coming to enhance the other per se, but one is a rov. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch calls the Mishnayim. That's also called the Ikev and Tofel, and therefore you only make a bracha on the. Majority ingredient to follow the rov. It's to that din of Ikev and Tofel that the Gemara is referencing as the exception to the rule back in the beginning of the sixth parak. If you have something which is from the five grains, rice happens not to be one of the five grains, notwithstanding the fact that make mezonos in rice, we spoke about this a lot earlier on. Rice is that funny grain that it's not really chamesh b'nedogon, so it doesn't have the chashivas chamesh b'nedogon to tilt the balance in its favor to always be the ikar. On the other hand, if lemais it is the ikar, at the end of the day it is the majority, then you do recite the bracha on the majority and you point yourself at tefela. So this is a chiddush agabi chiddush, doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. You want to eat both, you equally want to eat both, but lemais numerically one is the majority than the other. So it's this last din of Ikev and Tofel that gets a little bit tricky, that the later acharonim have a big machlokes about how to understand the parameters of this third application of Ikev and Tofel. So we conjure up that image of rov. It's a rov. And when you see the words rov, so we think of Yerodei Chalek Aleph, Echos Tarov, we think of Chul in the seventh parak. It's a rov, bitl b'rov. So bitl b'rov, although it's a dimin ha-torech ram mahatas, you follow the rov, it is subject to a very, very important limitation. And that's what's called nikar ha-isser. If the food is recognizable, so then all bets are off. That's a bitl b'rov. When we learned Yichulin a couple of years ago, we gave this example maybe 1,000 times. I have 3 salamis on the table. So if the all the packaging, all the signs are off, the 3 salamis, unmarked salamis, I happen to know for a fact that 2 of them are kosher, 1 of them is treif. So what's the din? Bottle barov. It's finishing barov. It's bottle barov. Min haTorah, it's for sure bottle barov. Midrabanan, every once in a while, depending on how chashuv the salami is, sometimes midrabanan. Remember, we spoke about berries, and we mentioned other dvarim chashuvim possibly. So sometimes midrabanan, there's a certain degree of hilchos chashivos that may trump hilchos bitl barov. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But you have these very, very cheap kind of salamis. They're not subject to any chumis midrabanan. 3 salamis on the table, 2 kosher, 1 treif. So then you're allowed to eat them. What does it mean you're allowed to eat them? So according to most of the Rishonim, in HaTorah at least, you could take all 3 salamis and put them onto one big fat hoagie sandwich and eat all 3 together. The Rosh says that, it's about the Min HaTorah. The Rosh says it's about the Min Derabbanan. It's Het Degom to take all 3 salamis and eat them together. So some Rishonim were a little bit weary about that. Some Rishonim had Chumras midrabanan, it doesn't look nice, it's tied to the sasur. It's a hidden hair, a whole chagaji as to one, maybe midrabanan, you can't do that. But by and large, the Ruben, the Rishonim held midaraisa, you can actually do that. That's the Chiddush of the Racha Rav Lahatis. Who remembers back from Chulin days, the one dissenting view? Who is the Rishon that disagreed? It says, no, midatari can't do that. Okay. It's a Taisus Rid, not a Chulin in Baba Basra, the third rank of Baba Basra. We spoke about this both in Chesed Batim 2 years ago and in Chulin 4 years ago. And probably in Sochem 3 years ago. Okay, so back to square one. So it's Chazar is always good. So the Taisus Rid says that no, Minatari, you're not allowed to eat all three. But the Ruben, the Rishonim, you're allowed to eat all three Minatari. How does that work? What kind of game is that? At the end of the day, it has the DNA of a Trefa Salami. I know it's a Trefa Salami. I know there's a Trefa Salami. How does that happen? So the Rosh, in the seventh Parakhama, says, Chulin coins a very, very famous phrase, and he says, Isser Nepach Lios Heter. It's a kash on the Torah says it. The same Torah Kedoshim that says, Losoch Lukonavela, says, Achram Mahatas. So the Isser has just lost its characteristics. It has now been transformed. Isser Nepach Lios Heter. It's a magic. That's the Dinat Torah, that's the Chukat Torah of Rav. Rav transforms characteristics. It's Ois Nevela. Now it's considered to be Ke'ilu, it's kosher. Ke'ilu, it's a basar shechutam. That's the din of Rov. The only thing is that b'med of Amrum, this is Sugiv Rov, that's when everything is unrecognizable. But if I take a look and I say, imagine I have three salamis on the table. Two of them say, give me a good name of salami, kosher salami? Abel's and Hyman, A&H, Abel's and Hyman salami. So two of them say, oh, you, glad kosher, mahadrim, mahadrim. And one of them is what? Borzet salami, a trefa salami. And it says on it, what is that? It says treifel choladeus. So I have three salamis on the table. Oh, chiram mahatas, gavaldi, two of them are kosher, one's treifel. I can eat it. It's worse than a Purim Torah. It's a farce. That's like, how can you say bitl barov? I know it's treif. That's the shkin bitl barov. That's like dora hayadua, like the ABCs of chulin. Of course that doesn't work. What's a shayla, vada nevada that doesn't work? Who remembers? Everyone did so good on the last question. Question number two. Who remembers? How could there be such a din? It's such a milsa de pshita ad ma'oy that bitl barov doesn't work on Nika Isser. It's like the ABCs of Yerodea. Who remembers the cash against Reb Chaim? Well, Reb Chaim, the famous Reb Chaim, is Chedushim and Shas in the beginning of the third paragraph of Akama. Reb Chaim is the kasha. How did the world of Chazal figure out this deep, dark secret called Bitl Barov? The Rosh says Bitl Barov is Issa Nepach Lios Heter, that the trade for peace loses its characteristics. Vishteta Zoyin the Pasuk. Where does it say on the Pasuk? All the Pasuk says is if you have three Dayanim, two Sechayev, one Sechpater. So you go with the two Sechayev. Says Reb Chaim, following Rov in the Chumash means when you have a latest Asofik, you're not sure what the emes is. So I have two dayanim telling me the emes is azoy, and one dayan's up, the emes is azoy. So I don't know what to do. I have a lack of yediyah. I don't know what to do. So the odds are the majority is probably right. That's what the parash rechon lahatus is all about. So it says Reb Chaim Lamoshel, I have 10 stores, 9 selling kosher, 1 selling trif. I find a piece of meat on the floor. So the din is minat Torah. I can assume it came from the kosher stores. Why? I have a latest asofik on the piece of meat. I don't know what it is ultimately. There's a 90% chance that it's kosher. Achram lahatis. Achram lahatis is a din in statistics, as Reb Chaim. Achram lahatis is a din in math. It's a din in odds. The odds are you're probably okay. That's what Achram lahatis means. So the same way that the odds are the guy broke the window because two out of the three dayanim came to that conclusion. So therefore we paskin based on the roof. So who at Dinami, Chazal understood, they extrapolated, they understood the Amkes HaDvarim. Chazal looked at the Pesuk in Chumash HaRam Mahatas, which is talking about Dayan. The Pesuk is not talking about pieces of meat on the floor. But Chazal understood that the principle behind following Rav HaDayanim, the basic principle is a Sheish Maistika principle. The principle is, when you have a latest Asofik, you follow majority. So too, I have a latest Asofik, I don't know which store the meat came from, I follow the majority. Says Rav, what does that have to do with Bitl Barov? Bitl Barov, I have three pieces of meat. I know for a fact, two of kosher, one straight. I'm going to take a slice of all three and make myself a sandwich. That's not a majority anymore. That's not a statistical, that's not a mathematical formula. I am absolutely believe, all the mathematicians are saying, you're eating treif. When I asked the guy with he got the Nobel Prize in math, I asked him, tell me, Dr. Pliny, did I eat a piece of nevela? The answer is, absolutely you ate nevela. So what's the matter? But I asked Dr. Pliny and say to him, I found a piece of meat on the floor. Do you think that it came from the kosher store or the trefer store? So he's going to say, mathematically, it probably came from, I can't say, I don't know for sure, but mathematically, the odds are in your favor. Over here, it's not a question of odds. The certainty. I know for a fact, I ate treif. So how do you see Acharam Lahatas? Who remembers the answer? So comes to Chaim and says, Abriskeva, the two did it. But I have a latest asofik, whether Reuven's chayef in a broken window or not. So first after the Macharia, what the odds are, what happened? So the odds are, he probably broke the window. That's not enough. Because in order to pass Kedushan Dinim Amras, what does the Mishnah say? Didn't say Dinim Amras Bishloisha. You need three Dayanim. And Reb Chaim says you need a universal Pesach of Beis Din that Dinim Amras Bishloisha. Three Dayanim have to say with a straight face that the guy broke the window. So only two of them are saying it. The third guy saying no. He wrote the dissenting paper. He's saying, I don't think he broke the window. And what's it in? Yechayev. How is that? So the Yevon says, Reb Chaim, linked in the parish of Beis Din is that the third Dayan, the guy who's screaming and yelling Potter, he's this battle bereiv. His Potter nepech lios chayev. His statement of Potter is reinterpreted and revamped, and now I thought it said in his piece of paper, Potter, no, you know, it really says chayev. No one does it. That's the din of Rov. That the din linked in the parish of Beis Din Zekter Chaim is two din. There's one din that Rov and Beis Din is Machriya Sofek, and then there's a second din that in addition to being Machriya Sofek, I have to have a presentation of all three Dayanim. But I don't have that. The answer is I do. I have the presentation of the third Dayan invoking the principle of Hetter Nepach Lios Isser or Potter Nepach Lios Chaim. That famous word for Reb Chaim. So it's a kasha against Reb Chaim. It's the famous kasha. Basically, we just said the Dayan's dicker. The Dayan's screaming Potter. That's like three salamis. The halakha equivalent of three dayanim is closer to the model of three salamis which have wrappings on them, not the three salamis which are wrapperless. So how could, according to Reb Chaim, how could the three dayanim who are wearing signs that are screaming, yelling and screaming, chayi pot, chayi pot, that's like nikra esur. How could you say bitla nikra esur?
But the dayanim don't know.
Right, but in the chambers, in the recesses of the dayanim's chambers, it's Nikarissa. How can the Dayanim come out straight? The foreman of the jury walks out and says, and the power invented, Chayev. What do you mean Chayev? It's not true. The other guy's snickering, Potter. I know the other guy says Potter. How does that work? So Chayev's a big peddler. How can you invoke this parasha? How can you say the sugya of how could this be the source of Bittul Berayv? Who remembers we spoke about this? We spoke about it this year? We spoke about it last year, the year before, the year before that, the year before that, the year before that.
What?
Yeah, I told Reb Chaim's great great grandson the answer, right? I have a cousin, my wife's cousin married somebody named Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. He is the Reb Chaim's last seven generations. Reb Chaim's son is Brisker Rav. I think he's Reb Beryl's grandson. So he's a Brisker Rav's great grandson. He's Reb Chaim's great great grandson. He's named after his great-great-grandfather. So I was talking to him once. I told him over this kasha. I gave him the following teretz, and he liked the teretz. So what's the teretz? The teretz is that why is there a din that when it's nikra iser, it's not bottle? Why not? Like, what's the nature of that din? Where did that come from? Why is there such a milsa d'pshita l'chazal that when it's nikra iser, din refers to Shulchan Aruch? Why is that so, that nikra iser is not subject to bittul? So the point is that Bittul means that when I have items that are joined together in one unit, I can discuss about the miyot taking on the characteristics of the rov. It's like mashal on the bedayim. When I shech the simon on an animal, so I don't have to shech the whole simon. The halacha is I can shech rov with the simon. Why? Why? The halacha is I have to shech the simon. The answer is rubik kulo that when I shech the rov with the simon, so the miyot the simon is kilo, it's nishchadami. What if I shecht one simon, I didn't shecht the other simon? So, each simon is its own entity, its own unit. You can't say that rov of one is going to be teifes the beer to the other. That doesn't make any sense. Let's say, Lamashal, I'll shecht the rov of one simon, and then if it's a beer to the other simon, I'll do the math, add them up together, I shecht the rov of the both simon. Each simon is its own entity. Rov and miyot only applies when it's one chativa, when it's one entity, one chatich, one item together, and then you can discuss the sugya of rov and miut. But I have three salamis on the table. Is that one unit or multiple units? What's the answer? If I can't tell the difference between them, so it's one unit. So it's one tarevis. Hilchas tarevis means that I can view it as one entity. Chol zman, that each one is marked, there's no sheikh, there's no tziruf. There's no connection between one salami and the other salami. It's have to be done on this salami, it's got to be done on that salami, it's got to be done on the other salami. So it's not pshat that nikra iser, it's impossible to say bittul. What nikra iser does is, nikra iser makes it that each salami now has no shaykhs to one another. What if I would have a situation where I have three items here? Of course they have a shaykhs to one another. You know why? Because the Torah is kaveh, that they're one unit. The Torah declares this is one entity. So if the Torah declares it's one entity, I couldn't care less whether it's nikra or no, it's not nikra. Nikra is a way of gauging, is this one unit or two units? So b'medim amum, and I don't have any halachic contribution to this question. I don't have any halachic determination that this is considered to be one unit. If the halacha declares this is one unit, so it's one unit, whether nikra or nishnikra. Beis din is a unit. The three dinim amum shleisha means it's not three individuals. There's one chaticha here called beis din. So now, within the Beis Din, I have two parts of the Beis Din are saying Chaya, one part of the Beis Din saying Potter. That's like a Simen. So if Rov the Simen is Shochet, so the whole Simen is Shochet. So if Rov the Beis Din is saying Chaya, if the others die and get stopped along as well. I is yelling and screaming at his Nikr, guess what? Miut of the Simen is also Nikr. And you can still say Aruba Kekulai. It doesn't bother me to apply Rov, even though it's Nikr, the Miut is Nikr. What bothers me is when the Miut is Nikr, and that now forces me to gauge this as two separate entities, that's the chisard in Nikra Isser. That was the beer that we wanted to suggest. So we liked the beer. That was okay. So it was all right. Back to our story. So no matter how you slice it, whether we're right or the other pshat is right, whatever the pshat is that there is a din of a Miut and Nikra. When you have Miut and Nikra, by Tarevis, it's not a bottle. So come some Acharonim and plug that idea now into Hilchos Brachos as well. So I have a Tarevis on the table, a couple of different foods, we're all mixed together, but I could tell them apart. It's, I'm sitting down and having a bowl of, I don't know, give me something. I need something.
Poke bowl.
Yeah, Poke bowl. Give me chillin. I have a chillin. Old Sancho. No barley. Barley's a whole different world. And barley, a Pesach ticket cholent. A Pesach cholent. A Sephardi Pesach cholent with rice. An Ashkenazi Pesach cholent with what? What do we got in there?
Potatoes.
A lot of potatoes. Quinoa. Lots of balls. I don't know. Keep the reserves out of here. So I got my, no, there's no barley, there's no beans, there's potatoes, there's meat, there's, we put sweet potatoes in, I don't know, whatever, quinoa for the quinoa people. I got a whole mixture over here. And it's rove of one thing. Clearly rove, 85% is one ingredient, but I'm staring at the other ingredients in the face. So some Acharim say, you're staring at the other ingredients in the face, Nikar Hesar, Ois Bittel, that's it, finished, Gemano. Ois Bittel, there's no Bittel. You can't say Bittel when it's Nikar Hesar. That's what some want to argue. And other Acharim write, come on. Nikar Hesar, that's your day of Dikadin. It's not Brachas Dikadin. By Brachas, you follow a majority. If it's 51% of food X, then again, this is assuming this kind of this Ikavatafel part three. This is not the Mishnah. This is not even the Tosfos. This is the din of Ikavatafel based on Rov. I want to eat both foods. I'm very, very excited. I equally want to eat A and B. The only thing is, one is 51%, one is 49%. So some Acharim say, I don't care about the numbers. If it's Nikar Isser, that's not Rov. Another Acharim say, nah, Nikar Isser, you don't follow Rov. That's in your idea. Zichus Brach doesn't matter. If it's Rov, it's Rov. L'chora is a Raya. This should be at least according to some Rishonim, there's a raya to that yisod that in Hilchos Brachos we're not so makpid on the klum of your day. They're the following. There's a famous kasha in Chulin. There's a Rashman Chulin of Tzadi Tesla, a very, very famous kasha. In the Sugya Bittul Barov. We spoke about this kasha a few times this year also. The Mishnah says in Maseches Chulin, the seventh parak, that if I'm cooking a pot of kosher food, and a little bit of nevela falls in, a little bit of dak tami falls in, trefa item falls in. So the Mishnah says two things. Mishnah says, first of all, you have to take the piece out. Whatever you could see is nikar iser, it's a zachabi bottle. That's the Mishnah that says nikar iser doesn't work. If it's nikar ayin, I'm cooking a big, big pot of potato soup, and a big piece of chaz, a piece of bacon falls in. I see the bacon floating around. But the barof, no, Mishnah's beferish. You have to, nikar, you have to take it out. And then, after I take it out, what do I do now? It's not enough just to take it out. Now I have to figure out what? Is there tam? Is there any chaz or remnant, any shirayim, any taste? I can't see it, but if there's any tam or chaz left behind, so that poses a problem. Mishnah says the Beferish, that I raise a bit nice in tam. So again, the Gemara deals with the technical problem. How am I going to taste it? I can't taste it myself, because if I taste it, and I taste chazer, I just ate chazer, so I have to get a goy to taste it. How do you trust the goy? There's a whole sug in the Gemara, Rishon, how do you trust the goy? Fine. But the dinner is a nice in town. Then the Gemara says, if you can't find the goy to taste it, so then b'shishim. The odds are, if it has 60 times of kosher to one drop of chazer, most probably doesn't taste. If you have the bad luck of tasting it, even after 60, then it's a problem, but the odds are it's probably going to be okay. Fine. That's a little bit of b'shishim. So it's a very, very big machlekes in the Gemara and the Rishonim and Shulchan Aruch. Is that a din midrash? Is that a din midrabbanan? So we spoke about this berichos, that some Rishonim based on certain sugyas of psachim, the chul, the zora, say this a din midrash, derived from a series of psukim, and other Rishonim say mahoy dvarmi yom. It's all a smach, it's all drabbanan. We're not sure where this din came from. So again, I have a pot of potato soup and a chaza filled in. I took the chaza out. So half the Rishonim say, Minatari, you still have a problem if you can taste it. And other Rishonim say, Lohad Vamil. Midarais, it's not a mutar. When the Mishnah says, a raisin, but I said, that's only a chum and midarabon. Fine. So Chokhloch, we're machmer, that's shad. Not for now. So comes a rash with the bomb cash. He says, I don't understand. How can there be a problem with the raisa? How are you talking this problem with the raisa? What are the three words? I don't this. You have a rove. The Torah says, Roman, well, you don't believe in Torah Shabbat, you're an apikurus, you're tztuki. It says in the Chul B'Shach Ram Lahatus, Chazal understood that din B'Shach Ram Lahatus is not just a din by Beis Din, it's a din of Nepach, Adai, and Leos, Kichaveirov. Well, you don't believe in Reb Chaim, you're Kaifer. Reb Chaim explained, there's a din, there's a finish in the Gemara. The Gemara is black and white, it's a gid, it's a chul, there's a din deraisa called Rov, you follow Rov. So I don't understand, so it tastes, Azma, it's still about to be Rov. So I have a big, big pot of potato soup, a little chaza. I took the chaza out. I can't see it. I'm looking in the magnifying. I don't see any chaza there. And I'm going to taste it. Oh, it tastes like a little bit like bacon. So according to half the shop, it's also midaraisa. Why is it also midaraisa? It's batel barov. Whatever tam is there is a minuscule amount. How much percentage of tam is there? It's a 0.0%. Well, 1%. It's such a minuscule amount. It tastes. Okay, it's one shishim. So it's 2%, 3%, 5%, 10%. It's not 51%. Why? How could there ever be a nisa deraisa of the same time? Take away to his bottle of rope. Famous cash for the Rashko. No, who remembers the Rashko starts? So comes the Rashko and says, because whenever you have tam, that's like nikar iser. That's the same halachic entity of, that's like having a wrapper on your salamis. Says the Rashko, nikar is not just the fira osa ayin. The Rosh Hashanah blessed us with five senses. We usually think of Nikar as being defined by the eyes. Says the Rashba, no, it can be defined by the taste buds also. The sense of taste is no less important than the sense of vision. And therefore, if it's Nikar and Eitam, that's like Nikar La'ayin. With Nikar La'ayin, it's Ois Taroibis. It's Ois Taroibis. It's Ois Bittl. So Bittl, the coin of it, the Bittl is bottle. So what used to be Bittl is bottle because the Taroibis has just been undermined. It's like Ilu, somebody came and said, let's say I have the three salamis and they had no wrappings on them. I just declared it a bottle. Somebody else comes in and says, wait a second, I'm a chemist. I'm going to do a DNA testing. I'm going to show you this is from the Nevela and this is from the Shchutas. So what's it in? So it's awesome. It's awesome with the Raisa. Why? It's Nikar Haiser. I know for a fact. It's not bottle anymore. Says the Rashba, whenever you have time, that's the Lach equivalent of Nikar Iser. So you state the famous Rashba. We spoke about this Rashba, the Rishon. Screw the Rashba. Let's stay in the Rashba.
So in the normal treif, kosher meat thing, wouldn't you be able to taste after you take the first bite and then stop?
What do you mean? By the nevela? They all taste, they're all three, the three salamis. Two kids.
It's not like not kosher, it's just nevela is the same.
Nevela tastes exact same. I couldn't tell there's an Abel's and Hyman salami and a boar's head salami. It's from the same. They're both from cows.
One was shechted.
One was shechted and one wasn't shechted. So unless you have Ruach HaKodesh. You have Ruach HaKodesh to know the difference. If you would taste a trefa, if I gave you a slice of meat that was beside a vela, you could tell the difference?
I was in like from a restaurant, and I imagine not kosher restaurants do it better, but I guess I don't know.
First of all, I'm not Makabel Lashon Hara against the kosher restaurants. And second of all, like, who says Chazal will talk about restaurants? You want to tell me I have spiritual antenna? Somebody was told, just the other, last week, somebody told me that they didn't understand how could there be a Machlokes HaPoskim about where the international date line is, about where Shabbos is. There's a Y in the date line, not past the date line. They couldn't understand. How could it be Leis HaSof? He said, this is how the person presented the Shabbat. They said they should bring Ruchem Kenevsky. He's not alive. Ruchem Kenevsky. They should bring him there, sit him down there, and have Friday arrive or Saturday arrive. And his Ruchnius, his antenna will be so sharp, he'll be able to tell you right away when Shabbos is. That was the kasha. So the kasha was presented to me on Purim, so I was Dan Lechavschus, that the person was a little off in the question. So I answered on a Purim spread. I said, "Adam Chaim, that's what's going to Hawaii." That was my response. But that was not the serious, the real response is, that's ridiculous. Why does have to do with anything? Loi b'shemayim, paskin shalos based on that kind of heebie-jeebie kind of stuff. So you're holding for the kasha. So the Kash was a stam, silly kash. Anyway, back to the story. So if the Rashba is right, that Tom is automatically like Nikar, and basically that undermines Rove, so that's the following kasha. I'm sitting down eating a food here, and there's some good food in there, there's a majority of food in there, there's some minority food in there. Do I want to eat that minority also? Of course I do. That's the third case of Vika Vitofa. If I don't want that food to be there, that's less than the case of the Mishnah about Maliyah. I don't want it b'chlal. I'm going to say I want it there. Why do I want it there? Because it, what? Say the word. It blank good, what? Tastes good. I'm going to taste it. So of course I'm going to taste it. That's the whole case. Of course I'm going to taste the food. When I'm eating the shulah with the quinoa, with the potatoes, so the little bit of quinoa, of course it's going to give a little geschmack, get a little bit of a taste to the food. So, and afal pichein, what are we saying? What's the din of shulah roach? You follow what? You follow rope. According to the Rashba, every case of tam is automatically like nikar, and who cares? That doesn't bother me. So loch patli that it's nikar. Why? Because the rules of rove and miut and uchas brachas have nothing to do with your day. They're borrowed from your day, but they're not identical to your day. We borrow the words of Chayim Lahatos, but they don't follow your day. They follow Mishnah Berurah Chelek Beis. And therefore, the fact that it's Nikar or not Nikar is Lamalaf Lamayr. That's Lafidia's idea. I thought that's a Ha'ara, Raya Bura Ha'ara. I think the Pasha Dvarim is like those poskim that say that you apply Rove and Miut, even if it's a Nikar, Nikar doesn't concern me. But it gets a little bit tricky, because at what point do you say that the foods are at least one item? Remember, we said you can only say rove and miut when they're one unit. If I have two different bowls, two different plates. In one plate I'm eating chicken, and another plate I'm eating potatoes. So you don't say, oh, well, the rove is the meat, and therefore it's the chicken, therefore the potatoes are the miut, and you don't make a brach of potatoes. That's a leitzonos. So what if I take them and put them onto one plate? So I have chicken over here, potatoes over here. A hot dog without a roll. Hot dog and a french fries. No rolls. Watching my calories. I'm only eating hot dogs and french fries. So I'm saving the 10 calories with a roll. So I'm eating the 600 calories in the hot dogs and french fries. So I'm having my french hot dog, I'm having french fries. Oh, the majority have more hot dog than french fries. So the male makes shot. Somehow we all intuitively realize that that's even one thing, one step less than nikar. So where do you draw the line? What is the kaveh? At what point do we say that these are not one item, these are two different items? So it doesn't say this, like Halach Moshe, it doesn't say this in the Mishnah anywhere, because this whole case of Ikra Tafel doesn't appear in the Mishnah. It doesn't even say it's a Shulchan Aruch exactly. So again, according to those posts, we say that whenever it's Nikar, whenever the meat is Nikar, that's Ois Ikra Tafel, then the discussion is a moot question. But Ludidon, that we probably hold, that's also called Ikra Tafel. So a Chashulchan gives a Hagdar. What do Chashulchan's Hagdar is? I don't know what Chashulchan says. The same utensil, the same spoon, a spoonful. said, "Yeah, I have foods on my plate. I stick my spoon in there. I scoop up a spoonful. So in that scooped up spoonful of cholent, again, maybe there's not the barley cholent. I have a little piece of meat, a little bit of potato, a little bit of quinoa. So in that one spoonful is a little bit of representation of everything. Al zedem, or you follow the roif. Or if it's a mezonis to cholent, al zedem, or you follow the mezonis. Remember, mezonis trumps the din of roif. Unless it's the devik bialma, schnitzel coding, those kind of things we spoke about earlier in the year. But putting aside the chamesh bin adam, you follow rov. Zakter chashulchan. That's if it's a one unit defined by utensils. It's a chiddush in chashulchan. How come Rishon you don't find that hadar? Why? Very simple reason. What? Minig avaseidi biyadeini. Our grandfathers ate with their hands, so we eat with our hands. Achashulchan lived already in the Vardach. He already lived in the modern era. He lived in 1900. So we already spoons had made their way to Lithuania. So if you're eating in modern norms of using utensils, so then it makes sense. Then you can gauge it and see if I'm eating it together one spoonful, that's a simen. It's not halacha mesidim a spoon. A spoon is a spoonful. It's a way of gauging. It's probably one unit together. Therefore, it's covered by one bracha. If it's a two separate spoonfuls, that's probably different. If you still eat with your hands, you have to figure out what gauging you should use. I think this aruch hashulchan is a good easy way to plug in. It makes a lot of sense. It's smart. It makes a lot of sense. This is a good way of gauging whether it's a unit one unit or not. So again, there are some places who go with the end story, and others are not so convinced that the end should per se change anything. But Lefini is 90, if it's already eaten on two different spoonfuls, then you already have an issue. Then it's hard to apply the principle of Ikevatam. Yeah, there's something about the cholent. It gets a little bit tricky by cholent. Let's say a person's eating a cholent, and it has mezonis in the cholent, so I want to say, okay, it's a tarivis, but there are like really, really big potatoes in there, like a shmaka potatoes in there. So I pick up a potato, I want to eat the potato, totally separate. There's nothing else on the spoon. That gets a little bit tricky. So, nuchom, you got to cut your potato small in the cholent. So you have to be certain that everything's within the same spoonful in order to really, really apply the rule of Avigah with Tafel Bracha. Okay, yeah. Nuchom, every time you have to... No, but then 2 minutes later, I'm eating a whole potato by itself. So it's hard to call that potato. It's hard to measure that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Okay, nuchom, you got to eat it with your hands. Okay. All right, any last questions? Avigah with Tafel? It's a complicated sugya. Avigah with Tafel is a tough sugya.
A few minutes ago, one of the more popular dishes in
Hawaii
now is poke bowl.
The poke bowls, yeah. So I'll tell you that. I've had back and forth with the poke bowls. So my natia is that the items in the poke bowls are still pretty separate. That
you know if you dip your spoon in there.
You do that. It depends what you put in there, you know. So I happen to like the big chunks of the salmon, like the cube salmons. So the cube salmons are usually a separate entity. You stick your fork in, you get the... I'm not gayrus on... Even real sushi, I don't know how to use chopsticks. I still don't know how to use chopsticks. I have no idea how to use it. I always go, every time I go to a smorgasbord, so I'll get a regular size plate, not a sushi, because a sushi size plate, you can never fit anything on it. So I'll get a regular size plate, and I'll get the regular fork rather than the chopsticks. But for the poke bowls, kamachomer, you need like a mensch. So I don't know. I've been back and forth with the poke bowls. My natia right now is I think they're really separate. Yeah, I mean, I hope I'm not saying that out of laziness. You know, I think that they're separate. They're separate. No, who thinks that? That's the assessment. They look pretty separate. Even when you, what?
I normally mix the whole thing up before.
Yeah.
I start.
Yeah.
The same thing. Like the same question. It's
like a salad.
What?
It's like a salad.
I don't know. There's something about the poke bowl, like they just that the chunks of salmon, they just don't look like they belong with the
chicken on a salad.
I don't know. Not sure. Okay, we'll reserve comment on the poke bowls. I don't know. Sorry.
Is it the same hadar that you would use for like borer? Is it the same?
I don't know. Not sure. Okay, right side. Let's get to the next sugya. Start a little bit. Okay? Just barely be into the next sugya.